Turn in your Bibles to the book of John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And I want to begin reading, looks like in verse 14. Excuse me. John chapter 7 and verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast the devil, who goeth about to kill thee? I'm going to stop right there because it was them. Matter of fact, before he got there, they were talking about him. Where's that one that they want to kill? They were looking for him. This is Jesus Christ speaking at the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, he had been in Galilee, it says in verse 1, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him.
Yeah.
His brethren, and that's what it says, his brethren thought it was a good idea to go into Judea because of the Feast of the Tabernacles, so thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. That's John 7:3. They were after him. He calls them his brethren. They were after him to do something more open. Do more works openly. Then you find this strange scripture in verse 5, chapter 7. It says, For neither did his brethren believe in him. Now this is the same bunch that were with Jesus all throughout John chapter 6. But it says, neither did his brethren believe in him. At the end of chapter 6, we have that great statement by Peter where it says many of his disciples, Christ's disciples, walk no more with him. And Christ asked him, Will you go away? And Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He didn't stop there. He said, And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I love that statement at the end of John 6 because that statement personally did me a lot of good. Because I had my own problems with John chapter 6 about no man shall come unto me unless the Father sent me draw him. And I said, No man can come except to be given to him of the Father. And that's when many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Because I had a bit of a crisis personally with that. But before I got to that verse, I'd kind of decided, well, it had actually been decided for me, but I'd come to the conclusion that I had nowhere else to go. That Jesus Christ did have the words of eternal life. And if that's what he said, it had to be true. And that goes back to that, what we were talking about yesterday, Walter. If you want to have the Word of God, the King James Version is just fine. There's not a thing in the world wrong with it, other than the people who read it. And then the people who preach from it. But you could give them an NIV and they'd mess that up. It doesn't matter. But Peter made this wonderful statement, and I mean seriously, it blessed me personally. I felt it. I was so relieved because that was exactly the same conclusion I had reached.
Yeah.
And it's kind of spooky when you find out you're agreeing with an apostle. Because I'd never read that before. Because it was the first time I read it that I had problems with it. I believe him, whether I understand it or not.
Amen.
I believe Christ. And I hope that he will give me understanding, and usually he does, at least to some extent.
Yeah.
I want to follow where he goes. Because whatever he says is true, whether I understand it or not. That's part of that submitting, Walter. Bowing down to.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but this is the way it is, because that's what it says.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then later on, it usually comes up, oh yeah, that was right. But that's what Peter said, just in the previous chapter. Of course, Christ did answer him, and have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas being one of the 12. And I remember reading that thinking, you know, that's a little harsh statement to say right after what happened. But then we go into chapter 7. You know? I remember thinking it's a little harsh, but then I also remember thinking, well, my thoughts are not his thoughts. My ways are not his ways. And he said, and it was right, because Judas was a devil. But then you get to this next chapter, chapter 7. Now, we've said it here. These chapter divisions, these verse divisions are put for our benefit. It's not the way things were written down. They're divided up so we can find them. And that's the only reason. And to be honest, I'm glad it's the way we do it, because it makes it easier for me to find stuff in the Bible. That way I don't have to trust my memory, because I don't. But directly after the events of John chapter 6, many left Christ and walked no more with him. Peter says, I've got nowhere else to go. I'm with you. Seven verses after Peter says that. I counted them. Seven verses after Peter said that. It states, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Christ walked in Galilee because the Jews sought to kill him. And then it says his brethren didn't believe in him. Sometimes when you read this book, for what it says, you know, it kind of, I don't really want to put it this way, but I don't know, it kind of makes you feel sorry for Christ. Because he's talking to these people. He's talking to his disciples face to face. And yet they still don't believe him. Because it takes the word of God. It takes the power of God.
Yeah.
It takes the Spirit of God. The Jews are already out to kill him because of things he's said. His own followers that he has called brethren don't believe in him. And they were trying to get him to go out in public so that to reveal himself as the Christ, the Son of the living God, conveniently seeming to forget that every time that Christ did speak of being the Son of God, they tried to kill him again. He was walking in Galilee, because that's where he wanted to be at the time. His brethren didn't understand that. We don't understand the ways of God. All we have, and the only way we can understand, is what is written down, and what he has given to us, and what the Holy Spirit teaches us. The problem was not with Jesus Christ. The problem was not with his speaking or his doctrine. The problem is, and was, and always will be, with us. Even these disciples at this time, after having followed him around, it says they didn't believe in him. How can we expect anyone to believe anything we say about Christ without life being given by the Father? It's not going to happen. People will stand up in pulpits like this today, and they'll stand up, and usually they're up a little higher. Now, they say so you can see in the back, but actually it's so the guy up front can see in the back and see who's not paying attention. But yeah. And they'll get up there and try to convince people to come to God. They'll try to manipulate people to come to God, because that's how they think it works. And the reason they think that is because it worked on them. And it's a self-perpetuating situation. And whoever's the more charismatic, whoever's the more entertaining, whoever's the more persuasive, and whoever can tell the best stories gets the biggest crowds. Whoever has the best entertainment can get the bigger crowds. And they can build a bigger building, and they can have more programs, and they can get more people in, and they can have a Sunday school, and they can have a secular school. And they do all this building, but none of it is according to the Word of God. None of it is depending upon God to give life to His people where they are and give them an interest in His Word and in the truth of God, which when Christ preached the truth of God, they tried to kill Him. And He said, if you preach it, they'll try to kill you too. They'll hate you. And I've seen it firsthand. And it's not fun. But it was for my good. Because all things work together for good. I needed to get out of there, Walter. I did. Luckily, I made it just in time. No, and no luck to it. It's God finally hit me in the head hard enough to get out. Yeah, you can knock wood on that. He'll get you out of whatever he wants to get you out of. He'll leave you in what you want to leave you in. The problem is with us. And this problem will be with us until he comes again. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. Now we have the victory in Christ, but we still have the flesh now. And right here, when Jesus Christ is talking, been talking to his disciples, they followed him. They, when everybody else left him, they stayed. But of course, Judas stayed too. But he kept the bag. It says he was a thief. But these men at this time didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. The Comforter had not yet come. And there in verse 5, it is no surprise where he can say, neither did his brethren believe in him at this time. They did 7 verses ago, Peter did. But we're flesh, faulty flesh. And when you do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, when you do not have the Comforter sent from above, it shows. Even in those that Christ Jesus called his brethren, it shows. The Holy Spirit does not make our flesh perfect or whole, because the flesh is still flesh. However, the Spirit of God, I tell you this, the Spirit of God makes everything better. As far as my situation, the flesh is no better, but it's easier to recognize. And hopefully sometimes easier to mortify. Whereas before, I never even knew I had a problem with it, Mac. Never knew. That's one reason why I do like Romans 7, Mason. Paul found out some things afterwards that those things were still there. The things he didn't have a problem with, now he does. The Spirit of God gives faith, which is the gift of God, and those with faith do believe him. That makes everything better also. The flesh is no better. It's still flesh. But now, because of the Comforter, the Holy Ghost dwells in the regenerate people of God. So anyhow, in this account, Christ went ahead and said, no, you boys go ahead to the Feast of the Tabernacles. And after they left, he went up in secret. Those were at the feast were wondering about this Jesus fellow. The Jews sought him at the feast because they figured he'd show up. The people were divided. Some were murmuring that he was a good man, and some were murmuring that he deceived the people. But they were all murmuring. None of them were speaking out loud because they feared the Jews, because they knew the Jews were looking for him to kill him. Then about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. He taught. Because that's what Christ does. He teaches. If you don't want to learn, that's the problem. If you don't want to hear, that's the problem. But he teaches. He spoke the truth of God. And he spoke sound doctrine. Whether we learn it or not, the teaching of Christ is sound and it is true.
Amen.
Now, I've been in some weird places. And I've heard even weirder stuff on the radio. Walter can vouch for this. He's heard. I know some of you people have too, but there are those out there that will declare their ignorance happily. God has chosen the ignorant things to confound the wise, and I'm ignorant than anybody. I've heard a fellow talk about that. There are those, this is the one I wanted to get to. There are those that say, I don't want doctrine, I just want Christ. I don't know how you do that. They don't either. There's a name for these people. It's called ignorant. But it's not the kind of ignorance that God's blessing. You cannot know Jesus Christ without knowing something of his doctrine, his teaching.
Amen. That's right.
He taught.
Yeah.
He went up to the temple and he taught. Now, if you don't want to know the teachings of Jesus Christ, then don't read the Bible. Specifically, don't read the New Testament Gospels, because that's what he does. Jesus Christ taught. He knew doctrine, teaching was important because that's what he came for. And he told these at the temple, at the Feast of Tabernacles, where his doctrine came from.
Yeah, amen.
Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. That means God. That means God. And if any man will do his will, God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. There's a lot of people around speaking of themselves. Because their doctrine's not what Christ taught. Their preaching is not what Christ taught. And that's the only yardstick we've got, is what Christ taught. The doctrine, the teaching of Christ is the teaching of God the Father. Even though he calls it my doctrine, he says, it's not mine. It's God's. But that's okay, because these three agree in one, because these three are one. My doctrine is the doctrine of him that sent me. And Christ had already told them who had sent him. That's why they were seeking to kill him. Because he made God his father. No, he didn't. God was his father. Every time Jesus Christ told the Jews who sent him and about his doctrine, they sought the more to kill him. So what does Jesus do? He gets up and he teaches some more. That's the perfect answer for anybody that's got one of them little necklaces that says WWJD. Thankfully, I'm thinking that fad's kind of dying out. You know, but he said bracelets and they had bumper stickers, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Jesus taught. Jesus taught. And he taught the truth of God. And people hated him for it and tried to kill him.
Yeah.
Now please go out and do the same. They won't. Because they don't know WWJT. What did Jesus teach?
Yeah, they don't know.
They don't.
No.
Well, I don't need a bumper sticker for that. But what does Jesus do? He taught some more. Got up in the temple and taught. And that is something we can do by his grace. We can tell people about him. That's his gift to us. That's part of his blessing. I think we're supposed to be ready to give an answer.
Sure.
To every man of the hope that lieth within you. We can do that. We can't give life. We can't make people listen. We can't make people hear if you get them to listen. And we sure can't make people understand. But we can do the best of our ability that he has given us by his grace. We can try and speak the truth of God and not lie. That's our part. And that's what Jesus did. He went up, he taught. The best way that I know to do it is to quote his words. It's also the easiest way to get stuff thrown at you. There's a lot of people who are Jesus fans, but they don't know anything Jesus said. Or they know little things. Now, he was born in Bethlehem in a manger. He turned water into wine. I remember that. Well, yeah. That's one of them good Bible stories. So you get to the Baptist church, and then he turned water into Kool-Aid. Sugar water, grape juice, Welch's. I don't know. That's what they teach. I've been there. But my Bible says he turned water into wine, and I believe it. And he says they gave it to people and they drank, and I think they would have noticed the difference. Because these people were used to drinking wine.
Yeah.
And you can fool some of the people some of the time, but it's tough to fool a wine drinker with Kool-Aid. Most people kind of get that part. But see, alcohol's evil, so Jesus couldn't make alcohol. Alcohol's evil. Alcohol's not evil. People are evil.
People are evil. Yeah.
The plowing of the wicked is sin, so is the drinking of the wicked.
Sure.
Got nothing to do with the thing, it's got to do with who's doing it. Now, don't go out and get drunk, because I'm telling you not to do that.
It's too late for that.
Never mind, too late. Ruined the whole thing. All right, don't drive drunk.
That's good advice.
Yeah. But we, by his grace, can, like I said, do the best we can to speak the truth of God and lie not.
Sure.
And we can do it by quoting his words.
Yeah, that's the best way.
Because his words teach.
Amen.
Now the learning, we can't help them with. Like I said. But we can. Because that doesn't mean that people will believe these words and love Christ. No. Let's see. The general theory is that Christ's ministry is estimated to have lasted about 3.5 years. And I'm going to tell you why, because that was about all the world could take. Actually, it was more than the world could take. Because they tried to kill him long before they hit 3.5 years. Because of his teaching. What would Jesus do? He'd teach. Just like he's always done. He'd teach, then he'd teach, and then he'd teach some more. And then they'd try to throw rocks at him. Because Christ would teach men and they'd hate him. That's why some people say they don't want doctrine.
That's why they say it. Yeah.
They don't want doctrine. Well, some of them don't want it because they know they'll get rocks thrown at them. Others don't want it because they don't know what it is. Because it's unfashionable in our day to say, I don't want Jesus.
Sure, yeah.
I don't want Christ. So you can say, I don't want doctrine. Which is just about like saying, I want Christ, but I don't want to know nothing about him.
That's right.
Yeah. Which doesn't make any sense if you think about it, but that's okay. They're not getting paid for thinking. They're getting paid for spouting platitudes. Like, I don't want doctrine. I want Christ. Don't tell me nothing about him. Just give him here. I don't want doctrine, I just want Christ, is a lie.
It's a lie. That's
because you cannot have one without the other.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
There you go.
Now, you don't have to have all doctrine, but you're going to have some that actually pertains to Christ.
Right.
People think they can have one without the other, but they're wrong. People will tell you that doctrine causes trouble and problems. Yes. Yes, it does. Glad to hear you testify, brother. Yes, it does. What would Jesus do? He'd bring sword, not peace.
Right.
He caused division among families. We covered that a couple, 3 weeks ago. He says they'll hate you because they hated me.
Yeah.
Christ said that's what he came to do.
Yeah, that's what he came to do.
And then he said, here's my teaching. Try it for yourself. They'll hate you too. They'll hate you because they hate him.
Yeah. Amen.
Because you cannot have Christ without God's doctrine. Who said that? Christ said that.
Yeah.
Verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine.
Amen.
Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And if you're going to know where it come from, you're going to have to know what it is. And if you know what it is, you know who he is. And guess what? That's his will. That's because of his power. That's because of his grace. That's because of his mercy. That's because of his work, which is contained in his doctrine. To do the will of God is to believe on him whom God has sent. That's more doctrine from John 6:29. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. If any man knew his will, he shall know the doctrine. Not might know, not should know, not can know. he shall know the doctrine, who it's from, or whether I speak of myself. Because Christ himself is known through his doctrine. Sound teaching. He is revealed through his teachings. He has made himself known in his own words to us, as he did to these others. He told us that if we will to do his will, we shall know of the doctrine. Walter, you know what I thought about when I thought about these people that said they don't want doctrine, they want Christ? I thought about that again. I thought about that ordination examination that Earl told us about. When the fellow the Earl was with asked the guy who was going to be ordained, who is Jesus Christ? And the fellow that answered that was supposed to be coming a preacher to be ordained that day said, I don't know what you mean. I thought, well, maybe he wanted Christ, but not doctrine. I want to ask those people, who is Jesus Christ, when they say they want Christ, but they don't want doctrine?
Yeah.
Because they might probably say, I don't know what you mean. Everybody knows Jesus. Because if you answer that Jesus Christ is the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God, I hate to tell you folks, that's doctrine.
Amen.
He is the Son of God. He is the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God. If you answer that Christ was the sinless and perfect sacrifice for sin, that's doctrine too. You can't know Christ without knowing something. Or actually someone. If they answer and they're not sure, then I'm running people that basically they're trying to avoid hell. And that's one of the things they'll manipulate you from the pulpit about. The place where we used to go, that was one of the things, and this is one of the things I can understand some people don't like premillennialism. I understand why some people, because at the place we used to go, they used it as a bludgeon. They used it as a hammer. See, you don't want to be here when the bad stuff starts to happen, when the great tribulation comes. You need to come get saved now, so you won't have to go through that. And there are some people who came to the front for that express purpose, and it didn't do them a lick of good. Not if they came for that reason. Christ tells us in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is to know God.
Yeah.
Now how are you going to know him without some kind of teaching? Without some kind of doctrine? To know God and to know Jesus Christ is eternal life. Jesus taught us that. Because that was his doctrine. And he'd already told them in John 6, verse 45, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Well, somebody's teaching, somebody's learning.
Yeah.
When God's teaching, somebody's learning.
Yeah.
Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. God teaches you, you'll learn.
Yeah.
And what are you learning? Sorry, you're learning doctrine.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're talking about. Because if you've learned of the Father, he cometh unto me. Every single one of them who is taught of God and has learned of the Father, from the Father, by the Father, cometh to me.
Yeah.
Because when God teaches you, you're going to know some sound doctrine. Every man that hath heard with hearing ears, and I know where they come from, and hath learned with a heart that understands, and I know where that comes from, of the Father, comes to Christ. Now, why do those who have learned of from the Father come to Christ? It says they shall know the doctrine. And it's not the doctrine of men, it's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's not the doctrine of denominations, it's not the doctrine of church buildings. Eternal life is to know God.
Yeah.
And him whom God has sent.
Amen.
Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And believe him.
Yeah.
What are you believing if you don't want doctrine? That's a good question. I don't have an answer for it. If it ain't doctrine. Well, actually we do. It's a fable. It's a fairy tale. It's a lie. And there's a lot of believing the lies going around, even with or without strong delusion, Walter.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't need strong delusion to believe a lie when I was lost. Even though I might have had it. You do not know Christ Jesus without knowing something he did. Now, we don't have everything, but you know him. I remember that tape Henry May handed. Oh my gosh, I'm not paying attention. I remember that tape Henry May handed about what you have to know in order to be saved. Right? Well, he kind of changed it around. Rightly so, because it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of people asking, what do I know? What do I have to know? What do I have to do? No, it's who you know.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, you'll find out later, it's who knows you.
There you go.
It's more important. You don't know that at first. You hope he knows you. And then you find out he knew you from before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really worried about before the foundation of the world when I was in that spot. But there was a few things I did know. And so when I started talking to Walter, the only thing I told him was, all I knew is that if God had puts anybody in the place that he had put me, where I had nowhere else to go but to turn to him, you'd be saved. And I might have even said you'd get saved. But I apologize for that. You'd be saved. Because if God gives you life, God gives you faith. And God gives you faith, you're going to believe. And what you're going to believe is him.
Yeah.
Everyone that is taught of God and learns of the Father cometh unto me. Every single one of them. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, but raise him up at that last day. What you have to know is him. That he came. He died. He satisfied God's wrath. He's the one. He's the only one with whom you have to do.
Yeah.
And he's the only hope you have. And you believe him. And the funny thing is, you actually get to a point to whether or not you realize, even if I go to hell,
he's still the one.
Yeah.
And that's a good spot to be in. It's not comfortable. I can see it now. Back then I was miserable. But he'll put you in that spot. He'll teach you. There is, you know, a spirit of bondage unto fear. And you will fear, because that is the beginning of wisdom. Thankfully, it's not the end. It's the beginning. Because then comes the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. First John 5:20 put this way, says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding." You understand anything, he gave it to you. "That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ." This is the true God and eternal life. Life is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God to those he's given life. And those who have been given eternal life and faith know Christ and believe Christ. And through Christ, we know the Father. Because for us, the doctrine of God is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Now, there's some in it about me, but it's not good. And there's some in it about unbelievers, and some unbelievers, it wasn't good at all. It says, "You're the father of the devil." They don't like it when you teach that either.
No.
Jesus Christ taught. His people learn. They will. Because he's going to teach them. Some of us learn more than others. Some of us don't learn much. And some days are better than others. That's just the way it is.
Sure.
But by his grace, his mercy and his power, we are all taught of God.
Yeah.
And we learn. Slowly, but hopefully surely, we learn. Our Father, thank you for this time, this place, and your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, who is Lord, because we know, because you've taught us, that he is Lord, Creator, and without him not anything made was made. Savior, because without him not anything saved was saved. He does it all, and he continues to be our advocate with you in heaven until he comes again. Thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.